is titled Preaching the Gospel of the Kingdom of God. Amen. Preaching the Gospel of the Kingdom of God. And this is just to spring us as a ministry into the mission that God wants us to have in the year coming. Amen. Hallelujah. The year coming is going to be a fantabruta word. Again, that is a word you won't find in a dictionary. But there are two of those words out there. Put them together. Fantastic and brutal. I remove some away and then put it all together. So, fanta, brutal. That means we are going to shake this land. Amen. And God has been preparing us all these 8 years. He has been getting us ready for this time. Now, if you look in the Bible, God doesn't need too many people to do what he has to do. For there was a man of God called Gideon who had a lot of men, about 32,000 men to fight the battle. When God was ready to move, only 300 of them were left. And with those 300 men, he took the whole battle. He won that battle. Amen. And all of Israel was saved. Amen. God will take a few people and will begin to groom them and begin to train them. And then he will release them to take the whole world. Hallelujah. God is a powerful God. Say, God is powerful. He is almighty. And to show how mighty he is, he will take something that is despised, something that nobody, you know, regards as important, something that is downtrodden, something that is useless, and then use it to do something great so that he can get the glory. Amen. So that flesh will not boast. Hallelujah. So even before he could use Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, to meet the criteria of being low, he had to put off his deity. He had to reduce himself. He had to become like a man born in a manger. Amen. And the Bible says he became a servant, washing the feet of his own disciples. Hallelujah. And God used him to take over this whole world. And with just 12 men, fishermen, hallelujah, crude men, hard men, people who hadn't been trained in the best seminaries, yet God used them. And in just a generation, the gospel had been preached all over the world for a witness. Hallelujah. Now, you and I know that Jesus is coming back again, right? Are you aware? Oh, yeah, he's coming. Now, it's not a matter of whether you believe it or not. It is a matter that is going to happen. That is the way it is. It is as sure as the sun shining today. Amen. It is as sure as the moon coming tonight. The Lord Jesus is coming. Amen. And I hope you're ready. Amen. But he has already come. 2,000 years, he came to establish a kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Amen. And we see that in his ministry and in his ministry, his preaching, the things that he said. And I want to put it to you today that if you and I will do the things that Jesus did the way he did it, we will have the kind of success that he had. I hope you believe that. But if we deviate from his plan and we deviate from the way he did stuff, the result will not be very nice. And that is why the world and the church is in the state that it is in now. The church has lost its voice. Hallelujah. But I believe that God is restoring the voice back to the church. That the church is going to rise up to perform the work that God has called it to do. And I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 1. So that we can set the plate for what we are going to say today. I don't plan to preach too long today. Amen. I want to just minister. That was a big amen. You know, when I say I'm not going to preach long, people say amen. But the more amens you give, then we kind of move forward. Amen. Mark chapter 1. Say amen. Amen. That amen is like you guys are hungry. Did you eat this morning? Say hallelujah. Amen. God is in this house. Mark chapter 1. Are we all in Mark chapter 1? Are you here to hear a word of God? Hallelujah. Do you believe God will touch you today? Amen. Mark 1 verse 10. I'll be reading certain portions of Mark and then we'll take off. We'll see what God has to say. Amen. The Bible says in verse 10, and straightway coming out of the water, Jesus saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days. Everybody shout 40 days. Bible says that during these 40 days, he was tempted of Satan. and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Matthew will tell us that after the temptation was over, the angels came and ministered to him. Hallelujah. Verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the... Preaching what gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. And if you go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says that John came out of the wilderness and was preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus Christ picked that same thing in Matthew 4, verse 17. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 4. In Matthew 4, verse 23, we read that the Bible says Jesus went about. Everybody say about. Jesus wasn't at the church today, stuck between four walls. Jesus was a busy man. He was moving to and fro. The Bible says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about. Who was moving here and moving there. He wasn't stationary. He was a busy man. The Bible says he was moving about, left and right, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. In Matthew 4, 23, we see the three things that Jesus did. He was involved in three major activities. And the Bible says that if you believe in me, the works that I do, the same shall you do, right? So if you can see what things that Jesus did, then we can begin to do the same things and see the same results, right? You know, you can pick up a recipe, right? You can pick up a recipe and they can tell you, want to do banana pancake. Let's say banana pancake. And they will give you a picture. You can see how the banana pancake looks. With the, you know, oil or whatever, the honey or the maple syrup just oozing around it. So nice, isn't it? You say, I'm going to do this then. So you begin to read the recipe. Get one cup of flour. Amen. What kind of flour? You know, the bleached or unbleached. You know, the ladies will tell us, I don't know the difference. You see any flour, you take it, you use it. Hallelujah. But anything will give the wrong result if you don't use this kind of ingredients they tell you. If you will follow the instructions, chances are you'll come out with pretty much the same thing. Amen. And we have come to realize that in this country, recipes are powerful. They really work. Hallelujah. Where we come from, they say, if you want to do palm nut soup, they say, we'll just put about one bowl here and just put some salt in it and just take some pepper and put it in there. You know, the recipe is internalized. It's inside the body. You don't need anybody to tell you, take one teaspoon, take one. No. Every day the recipe changes, depending on the weather. Hallelujah. Well, as far as the Bible is concerned, you have to use the recipe here to see what God was able to do. If we apply the same things that Jesus did, we will see great results. Our churches will not be big enough to contain the souls that will come. The whole world will be turned upside down. The gospel will go to every nation if we will do what Jesus Christ did. And in Matthew 4, 23, we see what Jesus did. The Bible says Jesus went about all Galilee. He started somewhere. Everybody say he started somewhere. Amen. That's where he started from. The Bible says he went about all Galilee. Number one, teaching. Amen. In their synagogues. Preaching what? The gospel. What gospel was he preaching? The kingdom of God. And as he was doing this, what happened? Healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. If we preach the gospel, we will see the same things happen. Jesus wasn't limited to healing just the deaf. Amen. Jesus wasn't limited to healing just those who were lame. He had the grace to heal everybody. Amen. To heal every kind of sickness and every kind of disease. And in this house, we have seen different kinds of sicknesses being healed. Up to this point, we have been trained in teaching that, oh, you know, I can be good in healing those who are paralyzed. My gift is in the area of people who are deaf. Well, if you will preach the kingdom of God, the whole kingdom will back what you say. Hallelujah. And if you have the kingdom of God backing you, your gifts are multiplied. Your gift begin to cover a greater breadth of operation. And what you could do with just your gift is just multiplied and embellished. if you will speak about the kingdom of God, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. When this happened, verse 24 says something began to happen. Verse 24, his fame, everybody shout fame. My God, his fame went throughout all the land, hallelujah, all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, those who were possessed, everybody shall possessed. There were some who were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. He healed them. So when you preach the gospel of the kingdom, what will happen? The power of God will manifest. If the power of God doesn't manifest, then you have not preached. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What happened after that? Verse 25 begins to tell us that there followed him a small group of people. Is that what the word says? A great multitude of people came to him because he was preaching something that was good. He was preaching good news. Everybody wants good news, right? Nobody likes bad news. Everybody wants something nice. Amen. If you have something bad to say, many people wouldn't gravitate towards you. People need to hear the good news of the gospel. What is the good news? That the kingdom of heaven has come. And what you see in heaven, God is saying, has come to manifest on the earth. That is why God told the disciples, when you pray, you say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom. Your kingdom, the way it is in heaven, should come. May your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. That is the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom of heaven is that the plans of God, the designs of God in heaven should be brought to bear on this planet earth. That this earth and this land, that people should correspond to the grand design, the blueprints of heaven, must manifest on the earth. That is the kingdom of heaven. And brother, sister, if you go to heaven, you will see God seated on the throne. That means that no demonic power should be seated on the throne of your life. If you go to heaven, you will find out that there is no pain there. So that means that if you are in the kingdom of heaven, then no pain should be in your body. In fact, even as I'm speaking, if there's pain somewhere in your body, if the kingdom of God is in this house, it will manifest in that pain going. That pain will leave. That pain is going. And that pain is gone. Because the kingdom of heaven is here. The Bible says that in the kingdom of heaven, there is no sorrow. Amen. There's no grieving. There's no death. Hallelujah. So every manifestation of death is gone. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says there's no curse. So if the kingdom of God has come here, then if there's a curse, it can manifest. Then that curse cannot function. Then that curse has lost its power. If the kingdom of God is truly here, then any curse that is upon your life today has lost its power. And not just for a moment in time. It has lost its power for all of time. Any curse of sickness on your life today is shattered in Jesus' name. Any curse of diseases, infirmities, that are even genetic or hereditary, today they are canceled in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Today the power of God is in this house. And God is in this house to heal. He's in this house to deliver. The Bible says the fame of him went throughout the land and great multitude followed him. Hallelujah. They came from Galilee. They came from the Decapolis. They came from Jerusalem. They came from Judea. Hallelujah. Even across the sea of Jordan. The Bible says people were just coming to him. Brother, sister, if we begin to change our messages and put them in the context of the kingdom of God, we will see powerful things happen in this land. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? When Jesus moved, there were some disciples who were trying to fish. I believe we are all fishermen. If you are a child of God, if you are a Christian, do you know you are a fisherman? God says, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. That is the grace of God upon our life. Do you know the kingdom of God is pictured like a dragnet or a big, huge net that is cast into the sea? And the Bible says when this net is cast into the sea, it comes in with different kinds of fish. Is that true? That means that in every church, we should see different people from different nations and from different countries and from different tribes. It doesn't mean you lose your uniqueness. No. Amen. If you're an African, you're an African. Hallelujah. If you're a white man, you're a white man. If you're a black American, you're a black American. You don't lose your identity. Amen. But God wants the church to mirror what is in heaven. In heaven, you see people from all nations, people from all tongues, people from all over the world. Amen. Are you aware that the church is the most disintegrated, you know, the place where segregation is the highest? You go to work, your colleague is a white man. Oh, an Asian. Is that not true? Am I speaking the truth? Amen. Different people. Amen. I think even the Republicans are beginning to realize that if they don't broaden themselves, they'll become extinct. The world has come to that realization that if you don't open up, you will lose your effect, your influence, no matter how much money you have. And I believe within the next 4 years, the Republicans are going to have to reorient themselves. If they don't, they'll get lost. And even the Democrats, with their agenda, even if the agenda is not bad, because they have broadened themselves, they're able to have influence. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if you as a child of God and as a church, we have to open up. We have to open up to different cultures. We have to change our songs, maybe. We have to change some things just so we can be all things to all people. Because God is going to bring different nations into the church of God. Hallelujah. Even in your own personal life, if you have a business, how well will you do if only your tribe comes there? If only your country patronizes what you have to offer? You know that you're not going to go too far. But if you open up and other people begin to like what you are doing, hallelujah. Amen. If you are selling fufu and abenkwan, you know that is a local delicacy. You don't go putting fufu and abenkwan. You say this kind of meal will give you all the energy to go throughout the day. The palm oil has oil and that will lubricate your eyes. Natural lutein is in it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You open up. You say, don't worry about the pepper. The pepper is good for circulation. Without pepper in your body, your blood will congeal and not flow. You understand what I'm saying? You are what? Opening yourself up. People eat Chinese, don't they? People eat even sushi, food that hasn't been cooked, they eat it. Because of how it is what? Packaged and sold. How much more the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is the most powerful entity on the earth and has everything for everybody. Amen? Because God called you to be a king. He called man and said that you will be the head over this whole earth. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill this land, subdue it, and have dominion. Dominion means be a king, rule and reign over it. But we lost that. You know that story. Eve ate that fruit, everything went down south. Jesus came to bring us back to where we're supposed to be. So that instead of us being oppressed by Satan, to be oppressed means to have a bad ruler over your life. To be oppressed means that the wrong person is giving you orders. To be oppressed means that you have somebody telling you to do something that you would rather not do, and that you are compelled to do it against your own best wishes. That is oppression. Amen. But today God is going to break that oppression. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. So when the gospel of the kingdom was preached, those who were sick, God healed. Those who had diseases, those diseases left them. Is that in the word of God? Those who were bound by devils began to free. They were freed from those devils. Hallelujah. The Bible says wonderful things happened. Now let's go back to Mark chapter 1. Are you in this house? Hallelujah. The Bible says, verse 14, Mark 1, verse 14, John was put in prison. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And verse 15, what were the words he used? He was saying, the time is fulfilled. The time has come. And the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Did you just read that? Can we all read that verse again? Amen. Please, can we, you know, sit down a little bit? Hallelujah. Amen. We'll take the offerings at the right time, but please, let's all sit down. Amen. The Bible says, he was saying that the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe what I'm saying. Believe that as the kingdom of God has been announced, it will manifest. Amen. If the gospel is preached and you don't believe it, it can't have any effect in your life. Hallelujah. Now, who is the king of this kingdom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And if you believe in him, you now have access to that kingdom. You are not just a child of the kingdom. Now you are an heir and you can inherit all the good things in that kingdom. Amen. And that is what Jesus preached. But today we preach different messages. Is that not so? And if we preach the kind of messages we are preaching, we will have the kind of churches we are having. And if you and I don't change the way we go about things to correspond to the way Jesus did it, we will never progress to where God wants us to be. I hope you understand what I'm saying. If we have to come back to basics and teach what God taught, and if we teach what he taught and preach what he preached and do what he did, we will have the same result in our life, the same result in our ministry. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 16 to 20, I want us to look at the fact that there are certain people that God is drafting. God is recruiting some people in this house to be ambassadors of that kingdom. That kingdom has to be announced, and there are some people who need to announce that kingdom. Amen. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, I will make you to become fishers of men. What I'm doing, you will do the same thing. You will have the same effect that I'm having. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bible says straightway they forsook their nets. Aye. Hallelujah. They quit from their jobs. Hallelujah. They said bye-bye to their jobs. Amen. And they followed Jesus. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were also in the ship, mending their nets. Straightway he called them. They left their father. Everybody shout, they left their father. Can you leave your father to do the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. The years were so weak, man. Hallelujah. Huh. They left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and they went after him. Many of us in the church see ourselves as members, you know, members. And members is in the Bible. The Bible says we are all members of the body of Christ. That is why we use the word members. But brother and sister, more than being members, God is calling us to go out and release that kingdom everywhere we are. Release that kingdom. When you move into your workplace, you say the kingdom of heaven is here. You move into your classroom, you say the kingdom of heaven is here. You move into your house, you say the kingdom of heaven is here. As you announce that, if something is there that doesn't correspond to the kingdom of heaven, what will it have to do? It will have to go. It cannot function because you have released a decree. Jesus said, as you go preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, God is looking for people who are already fishers. People who are already busy. God always calls busy people. Are you aware? Some people have this idea. You know, back in a certain country, I hear that people, when they retire, then they become pastors. I'm like, so after you've done everything you can, you give your last strength to God. God likes to recruit people young. I became a pastor when I was 33 years old. Amen. I wish I was called even earlier. Hallelujah. Because then you can give your best years to God. Jesus was 30 years old when he started ministry. John the Baptist was 30 years old when he started ministry. Samuel was just about 12 years old when he started his ministry. David was about 17 years old when he started his ministry. God wants us young. Amen. Because that is when you are strongest. That's when you can go the furthest. But that is the time that people decide that, oh, I have to also enjoy myself a little bit, you know, and see and explore the world. You can't explore the world without God. God is the one that created the world. So if you spend your life, you spend your strength doing what he called you to do, that is the best way to live. God is constricting people, recruiting people into the kingdom of heaven today. Amen. And these men, number one, the first set were fishing in the sea. Is that not so? When they were fishing, there are some people who God is going to send out to be what? Fishers. Your only job is to go and bring them in. Hallelujah. God wants us to go out and bring in the fish. The kingdom of God is reflected like a net. If you go to Matthew 13, the Bible says they brought all kinds of fish. Bad fish, good fish. Have you ever seen the fishermen dividing fish at the seaside? It's a beautiful spectacle. I've seen that physically because I used to live by the coast. Amen. These fishermen, when they bring in their nets, then they relax and they begin to break apart. The good fish, they put it aside. There's some bad fish. You know, there's some terrible fish. Are you aware? There's some fish that is not edible. They take it out. They throw it back. They throw it out. They just put it outside. And then shoes come out, laces, and and everything else you can think about. The sea is it is a trash can. Everything is in it there. So they remove the bad stuff. So as a fisher, you go out to fish. Hallelujah. And what do you use to fish? You use something that the fish will like. Amen. You have to do things in a way that will be in a way that they can't see you, right? You don't fish during the day. Do you fish during the day? You fish at night when the net can't, when the fish can't see the net. Amen. That means as the people of God, we have to learn how to bring in the people. Amen. Some people must be caught unawares. Can we make this confession? Let's say in Jesus' name. Father, I believe that you sent your son Jesus Christ to come into the earth to die for me. I believe he died and he rose from the dead. I believe he is seated at the right hand of God. I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus is the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Do you know you have been saved? If you are not saved before you made this confession, now you are saved. Now you are aware. That is one way to catch people. You just sneak in on them. Hallelujah. You sneak in on them. You come there, just like a seven. You just catch them. I hope you understand what I'm saying. That is how the kingdom of God operates. We have to use strategies that will attract people. If you go to the mall, let's say you're going to Chick-fil-A. You know the food court? You're going to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is at the end of the food court. As you're going, someone will say, hey, you know, I have something to eat. Somebody will say, what? Meat. Is it free? Yes, free. Yeah? Then you go there and then like you taste it. You say, this meal, $5. I think I'll eat it. So instead of going to Chick-fil-A, what happens? You stop and then you go to another Chinese store or a Taiwanese or somewhere, something that you were not thinking about. Amen. So we put our best foot forward. So what did Jesus do? He didn't talk about being crucified and dying and stuff. He started with, hey, I'm here to preach the gospel of the kingdom. To preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. To the what? The poor. And then to heal the broken in heart. To declare deliverance to the captives. And recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are bruised. That is good news. Isn't that good news? You give people the good news. I'm here to heal you. You go to somebody's house. You don't start bombarding them with Jesus and the cross. No. They will just say, you know what? Tomorrow. You say, can I just pray for you? People like to be prayed for, don't they? Most people, if you say, my brother, I want to pray for you. Is it all right if I pray for you? And as you are praying, you begin to prophesy. Father, I pray for his house. I pray for his wife. Father, that trouble that they're going through, Father, I pray that you solve. Say, hey, you look at you. How did you know that my wife and I are in trouble? You know, through that prayer, you have what? Caught him. Amen. You begin to pray. Father, that pain in the knee, I rebuke it. Father, when this prayer is done, that pain should go in the name of Jesus. Some people have a problem with this thing. They believe that people must be saved before they can be healed. They can be healed before they can get saved. Are you aware? The Bible says that if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he have committed sins, as you are laying hands on the person, what happens? Even the sin, even the iniquity is gone. Isaiah was crying out in the temple of God, I am a man of unclean lips. The angel went and took a coal, put it on his lips and said, your sins are gone. A coal of fire. So when you touch somebody with the healing power of God, the healing power of God doesn't just heal the body. It heals the sins of the soul. Hallelujah. So there are many ways to catch people. And we need to change our methods. Hallelujah. Look at the woman at the well. Jesus didn't go and say that hell is coming. If you don't change your ways, you are a fornicator. You're going to hell. You will burn in hell forever and ever. The woman will get the water and throw it at you. Hallelujah. The woman, you can see she was a rough woman. Hallelujah. He said, woman, can I have some water to drink? He said, look, go get your own water. He says, look, can you go and call your husband and come? She said, I don't have a husband. She said, you are a truthful woman. You tell the truth. I like people who tell the truth. You have had five husbands. And the one you are with now is not your husband. The woman put her bucket down. I can see that you are a prophet. And this woman listened to Jesus after that. Jesus didn't confront her with her sin. He said, you are a truthful person, right? You have told the truth. Really, this is what is going on in your life. Said in a very nice way. Do you see what I'm talking about? Non-confrontational. The woman listened to him and after that went into the city and brought the whole city to Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you bring the fish in, what happens to the fish? They die. God told Peter, look at this unclean animals. Rise up, kill and eat. Do you eat an animal that is still moving? You will kill it first, right? So when you bring the fish in, then it will die. Before you begin to deal with, oh, you are a fornicator, oh, you are this, oh, you are that, you just bring the person in, bring them in, bring them as they are. Hallelujah. And as they stay in the church and as they keep hearing the word of God, keep hearing the word of God, one day you see that, Pastor, I have stopped drinking. Pastor, I have stopped fornicating. Pastor, I have stopped doing this. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let's learn how to pull the people in and let's let God himself do his work. God is powerful. He said the spirit of the living God will convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. As the church does this, we will see great results. Hallelujah. So we go somewhere and say, we are here to heal. Any person who is sick, just come. And as they come in, they get saved. Do you understand how this works? May God give us that grace. May God enable us to do this. Let's go to Luke chapter 9, verse 1. This thing that Jesus did, he began by teaching, all right, and preaching and saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Well, let's see whether we are also supposed to do that. Now, if we see that he made his disciples do it, then we are supposed to do it. Amen. Bible says in verse 1, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what they needed to be able to do the work. You need what? Power. And you need authority. Without that, you can't be an effective communicator of the kingdom of God. Every ambassador has something that enables them to do their work. At the very least, they have a good car. Is that true or not? Usually, preferably, what? A Benz or a BMW, right? With a flag. I mean, you want to put the flag on the best kind of car you have possible. How would you like to see if the, you know, ambassador of Malaysia has come to visit you in a 1991 Toyota Corolla? And when the flag on there. No, he won't do that. Amen. Even if they don't have money, they will do everything they can to have the best car. Amen. If a businessman is coming to you, amen, to take over your business, to change your computers, amen, and he comes and his car is going, you say, this guy, I'm not going to give my business to him. He will take all my money and run. Hallelujah. People will trust somebody who already have something. Do you understand what I'm saying? You need the power. You need the authority to be able to effectively communicate the kingdom of God. And that comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus didn't start preaching this message until heaven opened up to him. He did not preach this message until the Holy Ghost came upon him. And the power of God came through him and was able to touch people. Amen. Bible says he gave them what? Two things. Power and authority over what? All devils. Because the kingdom of God, when it comes, the kingdom of darkness has to go. Amen. And the kingdom of darkness is enforced by demonic powers. Called demons or devils. Whatever name you want to give to them. Amen. And these are standing against and they are opposed to the kingdom of God. But the Bible says in Matthew 12, 28, that if I by the Holy Ghost cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come. Is that not so? So you need the power over the devils and to cure diseases. Hallelujah. But let's read verse 2 together. I want you to take your Bible and I want us all to go to verse 2. Hallelujah. Today our topic is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 2. Are we all there? I want to make sure that you are there. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them, number one, to do what? Preach the kingdom of God and as a result to do what? Heal the sick. If you read the Bible, you will notice that there is nobody who was sent to preach the kingdom who was also not mandated to heal the sick. If you will preach, you can teach. If you will teach, you can heal. If you can heal, you can teach. Do you understand what I'm saying? That it goes together. It is a package. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How would I like to buy a car and the chairs are outside of the car? And they'll say, oh, if you want the chairs, you have to buy that. No, it comes with the car. Amen. Amen. Everything comes together. It is what? A package. Now we begin to do the same thing. Matthew 10, verse 7. Let's go to Matthew 10, verse 7. Are you learning something today? In the year that we are coming into, God is going to be sending us out to do the same things that Jesus did. Amen. Matthew 10, verse 7. He said, and as ye go, what are you to do? Preach. What are you to say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, before this wonderful Windows came and this iPads and iPods and whatnot, there was something called DOS. Do you remember DOS? Who here remembers DOS? You know, if you lift up your hand, you are dating yourself now. Hallelujah. But DOS was powerful because you don't have anything to click. You had to put the command in there, type it in. And if you miss a backslash or a forward slash or a dot or a comma, that command will not work properly. Is that not true? But now they've made it easier, thanks to Cook and Gates and all those guys, right? In the same way, the kingdom of God, there are certain operative words that will signal things in the kingdom of heaven that will release the power of God like nothing else. Those are code words. Those are programmed languages that when you execute them, the right things will begin to happen. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, when you go, don't go and say anything else but what I'm telling you to say. Say that the kingdom of God is hallelujah. He said, what? As you go, preach, saying the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then what else should you do? Verse 8, heal the sick. Huh? Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received. Freely give. So you can see together with me that when God sent you out to preach the gospel, he will give you the power. He will give you the authority to execute that which he's mandated you to do. And God is mandating you today to go out with this gospel and preach it. And if you preach it, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You go to a barber shop. You say, no, the kingdom of God is here. Because God is within you. The Holy Ghost is with you. So when you go, you carry the kingdom of God. You go to your house. You say, the kingdom of God is here. And in this year that we are going into, we are going to preach the kingdom of heaven throughout this land of North Carolina. Can we shout a big amen? Amen. This gospel of the kingdom will spread throughout this whole world. Hallelujah. We'll look at our final verse and then we get into the word. Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24 verse 14. If you read Matthew 24, Jesus was asked by his disciples, when will you come again? What signs will precede your coming? What things should we see to recognize the fact that your second coming is at hand? He said, oh, there will be floods. There will be wars, right? Rumors of wars. Nation will fight against nation. Kingdom will fight against kingdom. He says, when these things happen, don't worry about it. It is just a birth pang. He says, the end is not yet. But what will occasion the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is in this verse. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. For what? A witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That means that if we do not preach this gospel, and what is the gospel? The gospel of the kingdom. Specific words, is that also? If we would do what he has told us to do, we will see what he's talking about. And the Bible says in Acts 1, verse 3, that Jesus for 40 days began to teach the apostles about things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And he sent them out. In their generation, they turned the whole world upside down. In that generation, the gospel went to areas where nobody had ever gone to. It penetrated dark regions. Amen. But when they died off, the gains that they made was not consolidated. Nobody did much about it because we started moving away from that gospel. But today, God is bringing that gospel back to North Carolina. Hallelujah. In the year 2013, this gospel shall be released. How do you become a witness? The Bible says, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then you shall be what? My witnesses unto me, where? Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, unto the outermost part of the earth. God is telling you to be his witness, you need power. That power comes when the Holy Ghost comes. The Holy Ghost releases the kingdom of God. And what I'm telling you today is that God is calling you to be a witness. God is calling you to come out of your membership into an ambassadorial position. He's calling you to become an ambassador of that kingdom, to go out there and to preach that gospel. And this gospel shall reach out from this land, from this area, and it shall go throughout the land. You say, oh, pastor, what about money? Money doesn't matter. In the kingdom of God, what do they work on? They work on streets of gold. So are they needy in heaven? In heaven, is anybody like, oh, I don't have money today, or I can't buy this, or I can't buy that? Ha! We will take this gospel everywhere. And as you preach the kingdom, since it is his words, he will supply every one of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He will provide the means. He will provide the transport. We shall be on TV. Amen. We shall release this word throughout this land. In Cary, in Morrisville, in Chapel Hill, every other land. Amen. Raleigh, Ghana, we shall take this word out there. And today this word has come to you. And God is commissioning all nations, Restoration Fire Church, to do this work. We are not going to be discriminatory. Hallelujah. We will take the word to whosoever will. The gospel has to be sent wherever God wants you to go. Amen. God has started us in Durham, and God will begin to release us. The doors will open. I said to begin with, God starts and does things in stages. He says, start in Jerusalem. Move on from there to Judea. Move on from there to all of Samaria. When you have completed this work, then you can go to all the world. So that is why he started in Matthew 4, going to just Galilee. But in Matthew 9, the Bible says he went about all the cities and villages. God is progressively moving us into his plan. Amen. God is moving us into his plan. The Spirit of the living God is in this house. The Spirit of God has been released upon this church to go out and declare that gospel. And I'm just praying for disciples to come forth. I'm praying for some ambassadors to rise up. I'm praying for some Peters and some John. I'm praying for some Matthews. I'm praying for some Andrews to rise up and say, we will go. God says that I have a word that has to go out, but who will go for me? Isaiah said, I will go. God wants to send you. The question is, who will go? Who will take this gospel and take it all over this land? Oh, pastor, you are the one who is supposed to do it. So when you read Matthew 16, verse 17, it says that, and these signs will follow every pastor. These signs will follow every prophet. So these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak in tongues. In my name, they shall pick up serpents. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. Brothers, sister, the end is coming. But the end will be occasioned only when this gospel is preached. And God is sending us out. Amen. Question is, will you go? Many of us are busy. Hallelujah. Isn't this a wonderful country? 8 o'clock, people are moving fast. Have you ever been on 40? 40 East? Around 8:30? It is a madhouse over there. It's a crazy world. And then when it's 5, everybody's out. Hallelujah. The roads fill up again. People are tired. They go home, put on CNN, put on NBC. And then they watch that for the next 2-3 hours. Hallelujah. Some sleep with the remote in their hands. Hallelujah. And then they wake up and the whole thing starts all over again. But there's a gospel that has to be preached. These guys were fishing. They were doing their work. And God says, I need you for this kingdom. I need you for this work. Some of you are fishing. Hallelujah. Amen. It's good to fish. I'm not saying that your job is not important. But this job is more important. How much time this year did you give to the kingdom of God? Amen. If you're a child of God, and if you want to do the things that God wants you to do, you have to give yourself to the gospel of the kingdom. You can at least say that on Saturday, I will take 1 hour off my schedule and I'll take this gospel somewhere. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You can say I'll take 2 hours at least every week, only 2 hours in the week, and I'll take this gospel and I'll just go and just do what I have to do. Amen. It's not a complicated thing. We complicate things. God does not complicate things. The guy who had the thousands of demons in him, when Jesus healed him, the guy wanted to follow Jesus. Jesus said, just go and tell people about your story. Tell them about how you have been healed. Don't you have a story? Hasn't God done something for you? You can release that word. You can tell them, come and see what God has done for me. Come and hear this man who has told me everything about myself. You can tell them that this is a man who came into my city. I was a madman. And this man drove those devils out of me. See me today. I can talk with you. I can reason. I used to be cutting my body. Look at the marks on my hands. I used to commit suicide. I used to shout at the top of my voice. But today I am healed. I'm standing before you. This man preached this gospel. 10 cities came to Jesus. 10 cities came to Jesus. There was a deacon in the house of God. All he was doing was setting the table. Amen. The next time we hear, he was in Samaria, releasing the gospel to the whole of that city. God can take just one person and receive and release a mighty move of God in all that land. Are you in this house for that purpose? I want you to shout Jesus with the loudest voice you have. Say, Jesus, Jesus. Your kingdom has come. Kingdom. The kingdom of Durham, the kingdom of North Carolina has become the kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Stand on your feet and say, the kingdom of God has come into my life. The kingdom of God has come into my family. The kingdom of God has come into this land. In the name of Jesus, you can please sit. Hallelujah. The kingdom of God is in this house. The kingdom of God is in your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Paul, a short man, went to a city called Ephesus. In that city, there was a big goddess over there called Diana. This man began to preach this gospel of the kingdom. Amen. In Acts 19, you will see that he preached the gospel of the kingdom for 2 years until the word filled that city. For 2 years, you and I will take the word to the TV stations, to every city of this land. Every place where there's public access, we will be there. And the public will soon become cable. Amen. I would like to see us on BET. I like the channels where unbelievers are. Amen. Because the TBN and the God channels is Christians who watch that. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want to be where people are, you know, doing everything, where they can watch us. That is where we were when God brought us out here. Amen. So we have to go to where they are and bring them here. Hallelujah. God will do that through you and through me. And you have to believe it. The Bible says, believe this gospel. For it to work, you must what? Believe it. Hallelujah. And in this city called Durham, and in this land called North Carolina, a healing move of God is going to come out. God is going to do mighty things. The sick are going to be healed. The lame are going to walk. The blind are going to see. The deaf are going to hear. The dead are going to be raised up. And I want to call on you to begin to bring the sick into this house. Hallelujah. You have been here with us. How many have seen people healed in this house? Amen. If you have ever been healed in this house, stand on your feet. Hallelujah. Look at all of you. God has touched you in this house. Amen. You have to now go out and bring other sick people. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God wants you to go out and bring the blind, totally blind. The deaf, totally deaf, partially deaf, three quarters deaf, I don't care, deaf. Amen. Bring people that they have written them off. I'm talking about people with cancer. Are you hear what this word is? If you believe this gospel, you do what I'm telling you. Bring people who are paralyzed. Amen. Just bring them here. And let's see God move in this house. Hallelujah. Let's see God move in this house. And as God begins to heal their sick, the Bible says in Matthew that they brought the sick to him. They brought the sick to him. Bringing the sick is an act of faith. They brought a man who was paralyzed into the house of God. And while Jesus was preaching, they dropped the man right in front of him. They interrupted the service. The Bible says Jesus looked at the young man. And he didn't look at his faith. Because dude didn't have any faith. But he looked at his friends. And he saw their faith. And said, young man, your sins are forgiven you. And then he followed up and said that you are healed. He said that what? Rise up and walk. The Bible says in front of everybody in the house. This young man arose, took up his mat, and walked off before them all. It's so much that they all believed and glorified God and saying that we have never seen anything like this before. We have to push this kingdom. We have to bring the sick here. Hallelujah. Are you committed to do that? If there's somebody at your workplace who has been diagnosed with a life-threatening disease, bring them into this house. Tell them if you come here, you will be healed. Promise them everything. Because God will meet that expectation. The Bible says that open your mouth wide. Open your mouth what? Why? You don't tell them, well, come and see what God will do. That is not. Someone's going to come all the way here with their whatever. And they say that maybe. No. You have to do what? Open your mouth. Why? He said, if you come here, as soon as you walk through the doors, you'll be healed. This place, if the man touches you, you'll be healed. You must promise them, and that expectation will get them healed. The woman who touched Jesus had heard something. The Bible said that she heard something about Jesus Christ. And she came and touched the hem of his garment. Boom. She was healed. What you tell somebody is their springboard for their healing. Amen. Are you going to do this? If somebody is paralyzed in their house, you can take your car, carry that person in there, bring them in here, and see the power of God move upon that person. God will touch that person. We have seen fibroids disintegrate in this house. We have seen the deaf hear in this house. We have seen the blind see in this house. We have seen the lame walk in this house. There was a woman who came here once, totally messed up. The doctors had written her off. Amen. We didn't know her. Somebody just brought this woman off the street, just brought this woman. And she was in pain. Hallelujah. I mean, she was in serious pain. And we prayed for different people by the direction of the Holy Ghost. And after the service, we said, any person else who wants to be prayed for should come. And then this woman came forward. And I said, what is wrong with you? She began to talk about this problem and that problem and this problem and that problem. So many kinds of problems. We say, praise God. As many as your problems are, so powerful will God move in this house. We pray for this woman. The pain left her body. The disease left her body. Now God is in this house. Now God is in this house. And now condition you are dealing with. Today I release the word of God to touch that problem in Jesus' name. That ailment in your body, I command it to be disintegrated in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Whatever problem you have in your body, if you have a way of testing it, when you go home, go and test it and see. You will see that the kingdom of God has manifested. Go test. If you have diabetes, I speak life to the kidneys or whatever organs have to be healed. I command that problem to leave your body. I command your blood sugar levels to normalize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any problem with your blood pressure, today I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I command that condition to hear the word of God. I command your blood pressure levels to normalize right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If there's any pain, any migraine that you have to take pills for, any pain you have to manage in this house, the manager of your body is here. The healer of the sick is here. And now condition has to yield to the kingdom of heaven. At the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every kind of problem, diseases in the body, hallelujah, God is healing it right now. For some reason, God is dealing with sexually transmitted diseases. That's what I hear. I hear syphilis. I don't know what syphilis. Amen. God is dealing with that now. Right now, God is touching somebody with that problem. God is touching that problem right now. Problems in the blood system, God is removing it. God is healing the body. God is healing the bloodstream. Hallelujah. God is doing work on bones. Hallelujah. I want us to stand on our feet and begin to praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have heard the word of God. If you have any condition in your body that has defied medical science, If you have any condition in your body that has messed you up, just put your hand there and begin to believe God right now. I'm going to pray a certain prayer right now. We're going to believe God. Amen. The Bible says, if two of you shall agree. Isn't that what the word of God says? If two shall agree, as touch anything, it shall be done. You're going to put your hand right where that problem is. Amen. And we are going to pray together. Open your mouth and say, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Lord Jesus, you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was put upon you. And by your stripes, I am healed. This disease is leaving my body. This infirmity is going out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to just pray for you right now. Father, as I lift up my hands, Father, all you asked Moses to do was to lift up his hand. Father, as I lift up my hand, Father, I bring to your remembrance that Joshua, all he had to do was lift up his hand and command the sun and the moon and they stood still. Father, as I lift up my hands now, may conditions go in the name of Jesus. As I lift up my hand, may the rod of God move in this house. As I lift up my hand right now, I command infirmities to dissipate in Jesus' name. I command growth to disintegrate in the mighty name of Jesus. I command every fibroid material to vaporize right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. As I lift up my hands, any person that is tormented, that is oppressed by the deaf and dumb spirit, I lose that person from that grip. I lose the minds of children. I lose the minds of people from any grip of darkness in the mighty name of Jesus. I come against every spirit of infirmity. Every spirit that is sponsoring sickness in this house, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Leave. Go. Go with every breath. Leave right now. Leave right now in Jesus' name. Syphilis, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Go in the name of Jesus. High blood pressure, leave this house. Go in the name of Jesus. I take authority over diabetes. What are you doing in this house? Are you not aware that you are in the kingdom of heaven? Are you not aware that the Lord Jesus Christ is here? Leave that person and go. Go with every breath right now. Leave the blood system. Leave the circulation system. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, I speak new kidneys. Father, any organ that is degenerated, any organ that is not functioning properly, I breathe life, Father. I release life by the power of the Holy Ghost. May life come. May life come. I command it to come to life in Jesus' name. Hey, Father, thank you, Lord. I bless you, Father. Hallelujah. Father, bones. I pray for bones. Bones that are not in the right setting. I command it to straighten up. I command it to be properly aligned. In Jesus' name, I speak life. In the name of Jesus, to knees. I command the knees to function properly in Jesus' name. Pain in knees, I command it to leave. Trauma, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. If you've ever had any surgery, just lift up your hand as I pray the next prayer. In Jesus' name, the spirit of trauma, I rebuke you. Every trauma that came in as the people were on the operating table, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Be loose. Be loose right now. And I command that sickness never to come back again. Father, we thank you for deliverance in this house. We thank you for deliverance in this house. Thank you for healing in this house. Thank you for breakthrough in this house. Thank you that the kingdom of God has come into this house. Receive all the glory, Lord. Receive all the praise. We thank you for today. Let's begin to thank God for today, for these 8 years that God has blessed us. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have brought us to this new day. We give you the praise. We give you the worship. Thank you, Father, that throughout from 2004, November of 2004, right up to November of 2012, you have been good to us. You have brought us this far by faith. Hallelujah. We give you all the glory. We thank you also for what you have in store for us. Thank you for the plans you have for us to take this gospel of the kingdom of heaven throughout this land of Durham, North Carolina, and throughout the outlying cities of this land. We bless you for hearing our prayer. In the name of Jesus. Amen.